Let's turn back to the 8th chapter of Luke's Gospel this morning. We last time talked about the purpose and the meaning of the word parable, the purpose of the parables, the meaning of the parables. We defined the word parable as an example by which a doctrine or precept is illustrated. That's its very short definition. Then we dealt specifically with the purpose. The purpose of a parable is to conceal the saying. It's not to expose or reveal the saying. It's to conceal the saying. It's enigmatic or cryptic language. And its design was to puzzle or to confuse the hearers. That was the specific purpose. It wasn't given to reveal the truth. It was given to hide the truth. We also saw that it was a form of judgment, in that it excluded all those who were not given the mysteries of these great divine truths by Christ. It was also designed to develop or to continue in the hearts, eyes, and ears of these judged listeners a dullness that was already there because of their rejection of the truth which was revealed to them. I mean, you couldn't get more revelation to the plan of God than God himself incarnate. You just can't get anything else. I mean, the only thing other than that is judgment. There was no other alternative to having Christ there. It was also designed to distinguish those who were true seekers of God and those who were not true seekers of God. The parable was simple, but unless you knew the meaning, it wouldn't matter how simple it was. And so we saw the first 10 verses of the parable itself. Sower went out to sow. When sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Verse 5, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" Unless he told them what it was, they weren't going to know. And he said unto you, "It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others," and the others are those who are judged, "in parables, that," so that, here's the purpose of giving him a parable, or speaking to them in parables, "that seeing they might not see." That's why I said that it further dulled the sight and the understanding in the heart of the hearers. It was designed to make them more blind than they already were, so that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. That's the purpose of the parable, to encrypt the truth, to judge those who had the evidence enough already to make a immediate and proper decision to follow the Lord. Period. Then we also went to a reference in Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10, which is where verse 10 of Luke 8 comes from. And in Isaiah 6, God sent Isaiah to the people of Israel, but he told Isaiah that the people would not listen to him, and that his prophecy to them was a judgment, since they would not believe God or his word through him and all the other prophets that were contemporary with him. It was therefore a judgment. I personally do not see why there is any distinction between Isaiah's day, Jesus' day, and today, that there seems to be no judgment today. There seems to be nobody in the church age that wants to believe that any of this stuff is relative to today. Sometimes I just have to scratch my head. I cannot understand why we are so arrogant to believe that none of these things that have happened all throughout human history suddenly have no application to us today. It applies to others, but not to us. It's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. We also concluded that there was nothing wrong with the seed. There was nothing wrong with the sower. Both of them were fine. The clear issue in this parable is the condition of the soil. That's the only issue at hand. And anyone telling you anything different from that is not telling you the truth. They're not reading this. The only condition that needed to be addressed in this parable is the condition of the soil. The soil represents the hearts of the listeners. Therefore, the only issue that has to be addressed in an environment, now hear me carefully, I want to be very careful to those, hopefully they're going to hear the simplicity of the big black preacher. The only issue that needs to be concerned with in an environment that has the sower who sows the seed is the condition of the heart of everyone hearing what's being preached or taught. That's it. So it's not the speaker, it's not the seed. If he's teaching the word, if they're teaching the word, then there's no issue with the sowers or the seed. Now, we like to think there is, but that's not the issue. And if there is an issue with the sowers, well, take it up with the sowers. That's another message. Okay, the seed is the word of God, which we'll see in verse 11. So there's definitely no problem with the seed. Now, the Bible is the Bible is the Bible is the Bible. It ain't changing. Now, there are some sowers who think they're scientists and they want to manipulate the seed, or they want to graft the seed, or they want to genetically alter the seed. And I'm using that as an analogy. There are some people that aren't concerned or aren't content with the Bible the way that it is. And so they think by genetically altering the Bible, they're going to be able to have a bigger crop or reach a specific people. I was joking last week to a degree. I already know that we're in such an age in the church where everyone is so selfish and all these different versions and perversions, as Dr. Lehman Strauss used to say, of the Bible. It comes along and there was a cartoon, I wish I had it. I had it years ago, and it was a caption that everyone had these different versions. It had the me version and had the Leon version. It was a version of the Bible for Leon. It's a Bible for Leon, had notes for Leon, and it was all designed for Leon. It was a spoof of all these different versions and perversions of the Bible. And I was just giving you some abstract, you know, teenage Bible, blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, on email yesterday, I got an offer for the Boomers Bible, the Baby Boomers Bible. It was a Bible, and that's for me and DeWanda, our age. So it was a Bible designed for us in, you know, a comical, whimsical way to, you know, bring the text into everyday life. It's just nonsense. So we're genetically altering the word because we don't like it. We think we need to alter the seed. There's something wrong with the seed. The reason why people aren't flocking to the seed, we think, is because there's something wrong with the seed. And so you have pastors and teachers and preachers and doctors and whatever, and they're busy trying to alter the seed as if the seed was the problem. You see, when someone's trying to alter the seed, I know the sower ain't a sower, because the sower sows the word. That's his job. He knows what the seed is. So someone trying to alter the seed, genetically alter the seed to do something to make the seed different, to make it more tasty or palatable, is someone who is not a sower, because the sower sows the word. That's his job. He doesn't care about, you know, the condition of the heart being an issue, whether he's going to sow the seed. He doesn't know the condition of the heart. The ground looks the same to him. All hearts look the same. I don't know the condition of anybody's heart. And I'm not sure I even know my own. The only one who really knows our hearts are the Lord, or is the Lord rather. That's it. He's the only one who knows the condition of our hearts. The sower's responsibility is not to try to figure out whose heart is what. His is to dig into that bag and plant that word, sling that word out. That's all. I'm not some scientist with some monocle out there trying to alter, getting some microscope and trying to alter and twitch the seed as if the seed was the problem. You got all these guys for all these years genetically altering the seed, and all this done is exactly what Paul said it would do. It would nullify the message of the gospel. Therefore, no one would be saved by it. So we got all these perversions of the Bible and no Christians. I have been saying for 30 years, we need to stop calling people Christians who manifest no fruit. Why? Because the Bible says it. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is the word. There's nothing wrong with it. So we can take that off the table automatically. Okay. Now, as I said, a person who is trying to genetically alter the seed is not a sower. He thinks there's something wrong with the seed. Well, now the parable is this. The disciples wanted to know, what's the meaning of the parable? Okay, the Lord said, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them, I speak to them in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may hear and not understand. But to you, I'm going to give it to you. The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now, you can't get any simpler than that. The seed is the word of God. And really, you don't even see anything about the sower. It just mentions the sower sows the word. That's all he does, because he's not the priority. He's not the there's no treatise about the sower, the goodness and the intent of the heart of the sower. No, the sower sows the word. That's all he does. If he is a sower, then he will sow the word. That's it. If he doesn't sow the word, he's not a sower. Now that much we can't extrapolate, because the sower sows the word of God. And if he's not sowing it, I don't care what he is or they are, or what he, they, or she call themselves, they are not sowers of the truth. I'm very much fed up with this whole notion that we have to alter the seed. Yeah, it's like people get mad when, well, Pastor Howard, he speaks against. You all need to be quiet. You have no business and no right altering the seed as if the seed was the problem, when you and I both know, according to the word of God, that the only issue at hand in this parable is the condition of the soils. That's it. Nothing said of the sower, his personality, what he likes, what's favorite color or food. It's the sower sows the word. That's all he does. Nothing is said of the seed, except that it's the word of God, and that's all needs to be said about it. The seed is the word of God. Mark 4:14 says, the sower soweth the word. That's all he does. That's all he does. Do you understand that's all we're supposed to do is sow the word? Not genetically altered seed. We don't even think about the unintended consequences of genetically altered seed or genetically altered Bibles. I was looking at a program sometime this year over in India where a lot of cotton farmers were committing suicide because they were planting cotton seed. Then you had a group that came along that had manufactured seed. And the manufactured seed grew a bigger crop a lot faster. Well, there was a whole lot of unintended consequences with that, because the original farmers couldn't afford the genetically altered seed. They couldn't afford it. And so their crops grew too late. You had all those that had this genetically altered seed, their crops grew bigger and faster, and the fields were stripped and it was sold, and, you know, too bad for the guys who waited, they had their regular old seed. And so what happened is, and they're dirt poor anyway, they would sell their homes, sell their property and their field rights. they would give them over to the people who had the genetically altered seed in hopes of being able to get enough to have a big crop and make money, etc. That never happened. There were unintended consequences with someone who genetically altered the seed and then set it out to market. These men could not have the proper equipment or the irrigation. They didn't tell them that to have genetically altered seed required different kinds of irrigation, different kinds of treatment, different kinds of fertilizer. They didn't tell them that. And so these people had already sold their entire lives over to the seed farmers or the seed distributors to buy all this genetically manufactured seed, which they didn't have any skill in planting, nor the irrigation to be able to properly water the seed. And then on top of those unintended consequences, there was also huge interest that was charged to the farmers who couldn't afford to buy the seed and bought it. And another unintended consequence was that if the farmers could not produce enough of the crop, then they would be bypassed by those who wanted to get the cotton and go to the ones who had a bigger crop. And then another unintended consequence was that these farmers who were dirt poor had to sell their own cotton, and it had to be competitive, but they weren't allowed to sell it below the market value. So it was a lose-lose situation for these farmers. So the unintended consequence was they lost all their land, and their families were out in the streets, and the husbands committed suicide to try to collect on whatever little insurance they had, which of course went to the seed distributors. So what would happen, another unintended consequence was usually the wife and the children were sold either by literally sold into the hands of these seed farmers, or their families became planters and they were literally slaves of the seed distributors to work in other farms. All unintended consequences of just altering the seed to make something bigger and faster and greater. Never thought about the consequences. We've done that so long with the Bible. We didn't leave the Bible alone as it is. And now the unintended consequences are so numerous, I can't even remember them all. But what I can say is the unintended consequences, because we thought we had our own set of consequences we thought was going to happen, all positive, of course, in our thinking. If we kept coming out with these perversions of the Bible, our thinking was the consequence was going to be a lot of people would come to know the Lord. Obviously, we neglected to read the first two chapters of 1 Corinthians, which clearly states, or teaches rather, that the anytime you alter the message of the gospel, the unintended consequences is you nullify it of its power to save. So you have all these perversions of the Bible. You got the Leon Bible, Leon, the Me Bible, everything, and no one's saved because there's no gospel. A gospel that's man-centered is no gospel. Anything man-centered is no gospel. So all of our so-called intentions, all of our good intentions that the road to hell is paved with, okay, all of our intentions as churches and Bible distributors and Bible publishers and book publishers, all of our intentions are meaningless because all we've done is set in motion eons of unintended consequences which will destroy the very core of Christianity. It's over. Except those small pockets of people that are left that are standing by the word of God and going, there's nothing wrong with the seed. I listened to men who called me and we talked, and I wonder, what are they reading? What do they think about the Bible? It's gotten to the place where now they're comparing this guy's teaching with another guy's teaching. Instead of saying, what does the Bible say? It's no longer, what does the Bible say? It's what, if you have a conflict with another person over an interpretation of the truth, you go home and get your library, and then you use your guys against their guys. What is, you just don't understand what I have to go through every week of my life. You don't get it. And I'm trying to, you need to stay in this Bible. It astonishes. It just, I don't know what to say anymore about it. The seed is the word of God. The sower soweth the word. That's his responsibility. His is not to think there's something wrong with the seed. That's the Bible. It needs to be sowed. That's it. That's my call. That's my responsibility. And if you don't like it, what did you come out for in the wilderness to see? What did you think you found when you came here? That includes family of faith, community temple, Holy Assembly, Missionary Baptist Church. That's right. I was there too. And Foundation Church. What did you come out for the wilderness to see? What did you expect when you got here? A reed shaken by the wind? Did you think that I was vacillating? And community, Missionary Baptist Church. That's right, Pacific Grove. I was there too. What did you expect to see when you came out to hear me? I'm not speaking about anybody else. I don't know anybody else. I don't know what they sow. It's not my my responsibility is to make sure that when I dig my hand in the bag, what comes out is the word. So what did you come out for the wilderness to see? A man in soft raiment? Some effeminate preacher prancing around like a little girl? Is that what you expected? What for did you come out into the wilderness? What did you come out here for then? What did you expect when you turn on the television or the web page or wherever you hear it? What did you expect to find? I already told you. I mean, John, by his own behavior and by his own demeanor and by his own ministry, was clear to the people what his role was and what he was to do. He didn't give anybody any confusion. People brought confusion to those baptismal waters. He never confused them about his purpose. That's why I told him, snakes and vipers, to get out of here. They came thinking they had their agenda. They came out for the wilderness, hoping people would see them. John said, bye, you children of hell. Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. You don't come here. Don't think within yourself, saying, we be Abraham. See, God is able to take these rocks and make children unto Abraham. Get out. There was no question about John's ministry. People came. I don't care what their intent was. The Lord said he was a prophet and more than a prophet. Scriptures wrote about John, and he obeyed God and fulfilled God's ministry. All we are to do is sow seed. Whatever you came for, that's your problem. If you didn't come for the truth, you shouldn't watch this. If you did not come, listen, because Harley Howard cares for his fellow man. If you did not come to hear the word of God, you should turn it off right now. Just reach for that control. I know you got one. And just point it right at that infrared button and go click up. Or if you're listening on the internet and you're mumbling Gunga's Miles under your breath, take your mouse, scroll it over your Winamp or, you know, media player and click it off and then delete it. And ask yourself the question, do you think you're going to hurt me? I'm going to see what he's going to say next time. You know what? He's going to reach in that bag and fling out that word because that's his responsibility. Is not to make you happy. Is not to tickle your Elmo. Is to sow the word of God. You say, you've been preaching like that for 24 minutes. Yeah, I could do it the whole 60. Because I don't think people get it. Well, I already explained why, and I'm going to explain it even further. But that's the sower's responsibility. The only way that anything can possibly grow is if the seed is sown. Hello? Do you think that's a concept that's beyond understanding? The only way something can grow is if seed's planted. That means if the seed ain't planted, hello, nothing is going to grow. Now you can do, you know, what was the fable of the king who was naked and somebody, look at all my clothes. What was that? You could do the emperor's clothing if you want to. The emperor's what? New clothes. Emperor's New Clothes and act like your field is growing. Ain't nothing there but rocks and twigs and weeds and what have you. You can do that. You can live in fantasy land if you want to. If you want to do that, that's your business. You can act like you got a garden grown full of stuff and ain't nothing there but thorns, rocks, and hardened soil. And you can make yourself believe your heart is fine when there's nothing there. You can make believe you got all kinds of spiritual food growing out you. You're a big old giant fruit tree with ain't nothing there but a dead branch. You can make yourself believe that nonsense if you want to. I'm going to tell you how, Lord willing, in this message. I'm going to tell you a little truth. If seed ain't planted, and if you don't have a good and perfect heart for it, ain't nothing growing. As I said, you think I'd have to say this? The only way that anything can possibly grow is if the seed is sown. Therefore, the issue of growth only is an issue of the condition of the souls to receive it. That's it. Remember, this is all about the heart. This is not about the sower. This is not about the seed. This is about your heart and my heart and all hearts. That's the issue. And until and unless people see that, there's always going to be something else. We need to be reminded of a very important truth about this parable. The issue in this parable is not the sower or the seed being the word of God. The issue here is the condition of the souls or the hearts of the hearers once the word is sown. That's the only issue. Okay, preacher. See, you already manifest. I sense that beaten path right there. Oh, your heart is trod. Be careful. Very careful about your attitude. Your attitude tells you a lot about yourself, too. Well, I know that. Shh. Be very careful about that attitude. You may not know what you think you know. There are only four heart conditions that Jesus stated in the parable that responded to the word of God. No others and no more. No others and no more. Actually, there are two manifested in four ways. But there's only two real conditions. In other words, the good soil and everybody else. But let's just stick with the example. There are four conditions of the heart. So trying to create heart conditions other than that Jesus stated in the text is a denial of truth. You think you could improve upon what the Lord taught? You think that maybe there's another condition that Jesus missed? Oh, you are way you're off the scale to think that, well, Jesus didn't give all the conditions. These are all just analogy. You need to be quiet. What Jesus said is sufficient and enough. Work on these four, because in every church and in everywhere, these four conditions prevail. So let's be very clear concerning a truth that was just stated twice, and I want to reiterate it again, because it is a true statement, and I'm going to keep saying it because people need to get it. There is nothing wrong with the sower or the seed. Now, I want people to know that for the 1,000,000th time. That's not the issue in the text. So take all the stuff off the table. I was offended and the seed was too hard. No. Remember, you came here. You turned to this program. Okay. I'm putting out the word. You decide to tune into the program. There's no gun to your head. You dug up the webpage and clicked on this particular message. You can get mad all you want. I don't see the mafia behind your head. I don't see no brothers with a gun to your head. You could turn it off. There's no angel with a flaming sword around your throat saying you better listen to this big black preacher. There's nothing. Because you're offended means nothing to me if the seed is sown. If the seed is sown, your offense is irrelevant. In fact, mine too. And no one's making you do it. I just want you to know that your problem is yours. It's your heart. There was nothing wrong with Jesus as the chief sower. Nothing. He is the example to all this. He sowed the 100% pure, unadulterated word coming from his mouth, coming from on high, and some people received it and some didn't want it. And if it happened to him, it certainly happened to everybody else that's sowing his seed. When he sowed the word, there's nothing wrong with him or the seed. And there's nothing wrong with any and every sower of truth who follows in his footsteps throughout all of redemptive history. Nothing. The sower soweth the word. This is clearly the mark of a genuine sower. He sows the word. That's the mark. So if you have what you call a pastor, or you call him whatever you want to call him, if he's not sowing the word of God, he's no sower from God. The mark of a genuine sower is that he sows the word of God. This is all that he sows, and the word of God is sufficient to accomplish growth in the hearts of the hearers if they have a heart that is ready to receive it. Those by the wayside, verse 12, that hear. Oh, they hear it. Man, we hear the word. Family of faith, notorious for that. We just so glad we hear the word. Hearing the word means nothing. In fact, hearing the word could be a judgment to you if you don't respond immediately and properly to it. So I'm just so glad we got the word. We hear the word. And they got proud about it. You only be proud about nothing. It depends on what you do with this word. We just glad to hear the word. We just glad to hear the word. You folks don't hear. You don't hear English. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their what?
Hearts.
It was in their hearts. Oh, pastor, the word is in my heart. Really? What did you do with it when it got there? Oh, here comes the devil. There goes the word. When the sower sows the word goes to the heart. That's why people get mad, because it goes right to their heart. It upsets their heart. Oh, what did he say about me? That's a heart issue. We don't like that. It was in your heart. It was in your heart. But you didn't do anything with it. Oh, no. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. This is a salvific parable. This isn't a parable about Christian growth. I've heard people read, I don't know where these people get this madness. It's right there. Lest they should believe and be saved. The whole purpose in this parable of sowing the seed is the gospel. It's about salvation. They don't sow the word. They don't sow the truth, so no one can be saved. Here's a person who heard the word, who heard the gospel more specifically. And what did he or she do with it? Nothing. It was in their hearts. So what? So what? What did that matter? They heard the word, so what? What did that matter? They didn't do anything with it. Lest they should believe and be saved. They didn't take the action. The immediate and proper response was believe and be saved. They didn't do it. So glad to hear the word. We just got the word. Sick of hearing that. I was tired of hearing that. I heard it at Community Temple in Santa Ana, Family Faith in Anaheim, and even in Foundation of Truth. I've heard it time and time and time and time. Again, the fact that because you were or are glad to hear the word means absolutely nothing in and of itself. I'm just so happy to hear the word of God. What does that mean? People came to this church for the first time hearing the truth, and they heard salvation. And that word was sown in their hearts, clearly, by their own admission, hundreds of people have said it. Where they at? Devil stuff. You know, all that word, he done took out these folks' hearts. Because they were just glad to hear it. But I wasn't preaching it for them to hear it. And the Lord wasn't using me and others to preach it so that they could hear it. My intent in preaching is that you do something with what you hear. It's senseless to just listen to these sermons. What's the sense of just listening to sermons? That's stupid. I listen to sermons because they sound interesting, and you know, I get some great insights as to how to conduct my day or my business. I don't care about that. Is that the purpose of hearing sermons? That you get some good insight, a good vibe, maybe a cliche you could, you know, put on a placard at your wall at your job? This is madness. My intent is to do something with God's truth. Gladness of hearing the word is clearly addressed in this parable. Unfortunately, being glad to hear the word in and of itself produces no fruit. You'd be glad. I've seen happy folk. I've seen folk happy and crying that they were in the place where the word of God was being taught. Happy and crying. Rejoicing. Up until the part where you ask them about things spiritual. Oh, no more happy sauce. They felt like their space was being invaded. They were being offended. They were being persecuted. I just ask you to consider what the Lord said in His Word. If you feel that's a persecution, you need to find the door. Because you certainly are not a believer if a pastor who is God's ruler in the church cannot confront you, whatever. Have you considered? How did it happen? And he start biting folk. You ain't not saved. The multitudes that Jesus preached to all heard the word. Every time that Jesus had a person with him and he spoke, they heard from God. They heard the word. Every single person in this house today, every person watching or listening to this message is hearing the word. Hearing the word in and of itself means nothing. Means nothing. The first heart condition is the wayside hearer. The wayside hearer heard the word, but did nothing with it. Now that speaks of a majority of people. Oh, they hear it. They watch it. They listen to it. I know people. Listen, I know people every week. Yeah, we saw you on television. Great. What'd you do with it? We thought you were funny. Mm-hmm. You did, huh? Okay. They heard it, but they didn't do anything with it. Man, last week, how's my favorite TV star? I had to laugh at him. I thought, that's sad. That's all you got out of this? You heard it, but you didn't hear a thing. And you weren't glad to hear the word. I run into so many people throughout these years. Oh, I see. Right. What'd you do with the truth? You part of that group, but I'm a gonna group. I'm gonna leave because you ain't gonna do nothing. I already know it. The I'm a gonna group. Everybody's a I'm a gonna. I'm gonna do nothing with the word that I've heard. That's what I'm gonna do. And I'm gonna get offended because he done exposed what I'm gonna not do with the word. And who does he a gonna think he is? Talking like Georgia. Who done gonna you think you is? I just asking you to consider the word of God. I'm gonna do with this, and we's a gonna. I don't want to hear all that stuff. It's meaningless. The scribes and Pharisees and many other people of that sort all fell under this category. Multitudes throughout redemptive history were and are wayside hearers. I have seen this attitude even in our fellowship for a long time. There were some who mastered the gift and the art of self-deception, believing that being in proximity of or to the word was enough, and that they were content with their state, in spite of the fact that Jesus said that your reception of the word is fruitless. It doesn't matter whether you're happy. It doesn't matter whether you're not happy. If you heard the word and you did nothing with it, that's what matters. And especially at the level of salvation. One writer stated, the devil immediately takes notice of such hearers and is very busy with them, filling their minds with other things suitable to their dispositions. Here you have the gospel being preached to you. Someone preaches the gospel to those who are lost. And what happens? The devil fills their minds with things that are suitable to their own dispositions. You know, well, why don't you want that Xbox 360 now, don't you? If they got a good deal over at Best Buy. He's just filling your mind with nonsense. The word is being sown. Devil comes along and just blah, 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 blah. And he tells you all this stuff that, oh, yeah, I got to make that phone call. I need to find a button. And you're not even paying attention. I got to go because I got. Devil just swoop, take it out. The devil immediately takes notice of such hearers and is very busy with them, filling their minds with other things suitable to their dispositions and setting before them other objects whereby their minds are at once taken off from what they have been hearing, so that all that they have observed and laid up in their memories is lost at once and never thought of anymore, end of quote. I've talked to people, the gospel, and it's like they're looking right through you. They're looking at stuff behind you. Or they get distracted. Did you see that? No, I was talking to you. Did you hear that? No, I was talking to you. If it ain't blowing up or running after me to bite me, I'm not interested right now. You know, let's deal with the world. We could deal with what's blowing up behind me later. But they get distracted. And you know, move over. You see me? Hello? I'm still here. Still talking to you. Haven't gone anywhere, you know, like, hello. It's really something, giving out this gospel. I was talking to a guy about the gospel. He started blurting about being an altar boy. Then he's up and left. I was like, huh? What he said made no sense. It was like he was just trying to say something. He had to run to get away, like he had to go to the bathroom or something. He just left. I was on the point, blah, 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 shoom, exit stage left. I think for some, the devil's taking the word as it's falling in their heart. He's right there. Abba, 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 abba. They don't even get there. It's like, man. Second, Jesus, the end of quote, by the way, Jesus is clear that the wayside hearer gives Satan complete victory over the word sown in the person's life. As he comes along and snatches away the truth that was sown in the heart. The person does nothing with the word, invites Satan to come and take it. He'll take it. It's his job to take that word from your heart that you don't believe and be saved. The truth of the gospel and all matters related to it must be responded to immediately and properly if one is to experience the salvation that the gospel is intended to bring. If you don't respond to it, Satan won't respond to it. Snatch that word. I've met all these conditions. And in fact, I was at least two of them. But I've met all four of them. As a pastor, you see it all the time. It's just unveiled. Some young guy going to Christian school. He found I was a believer. I thought he's going to fall and die out there on the racquetball court. He goes to Christian school, and I said, he don't sound like no Christian. He blank, 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 blank. And I told him what I did. Oh, don't choke. Don't choke. I don't want to fill out paperwork. You died of a heart attack at 26. I don't want to have to go through filling out no paperwork. He died because he found out he was pop. I'm not interested in that. They get scared. Clearly, Jesus stated that the purpose for the wayside hearer is to hear the word and to believe it unto salvation. Satan's job is to make sure that the wayside hearer never responds to the message of salvation by making sure that the word the hearer is so lackadaisical to respond to immediately and properly, and salvation is removed so that they can never be saved. It's Satan's job to come make sure you never hear the word. Well, it ain't. Listen to me. It's not Satan's fault either. I told you the condition was the heart. The devil is just doing what he's supposed to do. It's not the devil's fault. You're not saved. It's your fault. It's your heart. Well, you know, the devil could, devil, this. No, it's your heart. It's your fault. You did nothing with the word. God gave you the opportunity right at that moment to immediately respond to his word, and you didn't do it. It's your fault. It's your heart. Someone else wrote, quoting, the great truth here taught is that hearts all unbroken and hard are not fit soil for saving truth. They apprehend it not as God's means of restoring them to himself. It penetrates not, makes no impression, but lies loosely on the surface of the heart till the wicked one, afraid of losing a victim by his believing to salvation, finds some frivolous subject by whose greater attractions to draw off the attention, and straightway it is gone. Of how many hearers of the word is this the graphic but painful history? End of quote. People have heard the word of God. I have watched this in churches. I've watched this. They've heard, and you see the conviction. And I'm sitting right there before them. And they'll say, that food smells good. Gone. Their whole mind, someone opened the door and a whiff of greens and the whole thing, just the word was gone. They got hungry. I've seen broken people right there in my presence. I said, if this person would only respond to the word, and the phone rings and they get distracted. A call's for you. If I'm sitting with somebody with the gospel, pastor, you should do that to them. I don't want to hear what you got to say unless someone's dead. Then I can't do nothing about it. You know, let's see if we get this person the gospel. We'll deal with the dead, and then I can do about it. But it become an office. Even sometimes that was a distraction. People would knock and come through the door. Oh, well, there it goes. You know, person, focus is gone. I see visions of people in my mind. He used to knock and didn't wait for an answer. Just walk in. You just ruined it. You just gave Satan the opportunity. You just didn't wait. The person was focused. And then some distraction came along. Boom. Boom. Many people I've seen like this. Many. You could tell they were right there. Then they were just... And Satan was right on their shoulder. Wait for that wrong answer. Yeah, you're right. That's three famous last words. Yeah, you're right. But as soon as you say, yeah, you're right, Satan is perched. Anything after that, that's not, and I'll do it right now. But Satan came and took it right then. They're gone. That's what it says. Satan cometh immediately. Not tomorrow. If I say, Keisha, look out. You got the impression I'm saying look out now, right? Not, I didn't say, Keisha, look out next month. There was, when I say look out, there is an implication of immediately, of right now. I don't even have to say look out immediately. You already understand. That's implied. That's implied in the command. Look out. Or duck. That don't mean quack. It just be duck. Get out. Oh, he wants me to quack. No. Satan comes immediately. What do you think immediately means? Next week? It means immediately. People that hear the gospel need to respond right up. Well, you know, you just go pray about it. You invited Satan to take the word out of that person's heart. Respond to it. You better respond now. What do you think Peter told them folk he was preached to in Acts 2? Save yourself in this untoward generation. Turn now. Repent. Believe now. And some say these people are drunk. Others said, no, we believe now. Depends on the heart condition. Some believed and most didn't. These are they, verse 15. By the wayside, when the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word which was sown in their heart. Immediately means immediately. Did I say something wrong?
You said 15, but it should be 13.
13. Oh. Let's cross that one out. 13. Wait a minute. That's 12. Okay, I'm sorry. Those are by the wayside. Are they that hear, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's right. Okay. Oopsie. The wayside hearer always plans to do something with the word, but not today. Always. I'm a gunner. Tell me some other seed snatching comments that people make. I'm going to meditate on it. You're going to sound spiritual. I'll meditate on it. I'll think about it. What else?
I don't have time.
I don't have time. What else? Come on. Get them fertile minds going. Can't hear you. Oh, you're trying to think. That's what they probably said. I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, the guys, you wouldn't let me be lost. Well, now you are. Congratulations. Hope you're happy. But it's always this delay. There's always this delay. Not today, not immediately, not properly. I need to think about it.
I got time.
Not anymore.
I'll get back to you.
I already heard someone tell me. I've heard of that before. We could spend a whole hour talking about pithy sayings of doom because they're everywhere. Okay, well, and don't sit there, huh?
I already know.
Okay, well, now you don't. Okay.
I wish so-and-so was here to hear that.
Go pterodactyl, take all that out of you. Wish somebody else was here. Well, you here. Yeah, but they need to. That and a billion others. All the wrong answer. The only answer is yes, Lord. What must I do to be saved? That's the only response. Everything else is, word was snatched. Just come here. You can always hear them speak, all these wayside hearers, and rest assured that by the time they are finished with their sentence, that word was already removed from their hearts by the devil. And that's the price for not responding to the truth immediately and properly. So there's all these delays in the minds and the hearts. I have time to apply the truth at my leisure. Or, well, I'll just buy a tape or some other recording media. I can be frivolous now with the truth and listen to it later at a more appropriate time that I deem fit. No, you can't. No. These are by the wayside that hear, then cometh the devil. Take away the word out of their hearts. Mark said immediately. Immediately. Not tomorrow. Immediately. Unfortunately for this person, the text states that the sown word is removed by the devil. If you fail to respond properly, and immediately to the word when you hear it. That's the time to make a that's the time when a decision is made. Not, well, I'm going to go and think about it and make a decision. No, you made a decision. That was a decision to go no. Any decision other than yes is an automatic no. If I say, Tabitha, I want you to go to the store right now and get me a quart of milk. Any other answer other than 2% or low fat or regular is wrong. Well, you know, I'm going to go, but I want to think about, you know, what I need, when I need to do it. And I need to think about, you know, the weather when I. Huh? It's another snatching. If you fail to respond immediately and properly to the gospel when you hear it, what makes you think that A, Satan didn't remove it already, as Jesus clearly stated that he would? What makes you think he didn't do it? B, the removal was immediate, or wasn't immediate, as Jesus said that it would be. What makes you think it wasn't immediate? And C, that you can contradict the Lord by saying that you can hear the word and at a future time respond to it at your leisure. Well, I don't know. Well, yes, I do. They just simply don't want to give their lives to the Lord. And so they just say, well, I'll get around to it. There's not, I'll get around to it. And some wiseacre printed a coin. It'd be a plastic coin. I saw it in the 70s where someone says, I'll get around to it. And they give you a coin that says around to it. So you got around to it. Okay, now what are you going to do with it? It was kind of a funny gimmick, you know. I thought it was quite humorous at the time. So yeah, that's interesting. So next time somebody, Reverend Howard, next time somebody tells to get around to, just give them this coin. I'm like, oh, that's funny. Okay. So is that the time I need to duck when the fist hits me upside my head? If you don't respond to the truth of the gospel when you hear it, it is removed from you at once. And the reason why it is removed from you immediately is that you've hardened your heart toward it, plain and simple. It's your heart. Denials of the facts and rejections of the facts are proof that the word was already removed and gone. That your heart is hardened. People, yeah, you can't say that. Yeah, I just did, because it's the truth. If you reject the facts, you've just proved your heart was hardened. I've took my time with it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No, if you believe God says something, this idea of taking your time with it is illogical. Well, that's, let's see. That's Mr. Beaten Path, Mr. Wayside. We will get into Mr. Stony Heart tonight. And I think also Mr. Thorny, Mr. Stony Heart, Mr. Mrs. Rockheart and Thorny Heart, and we'll see what their issue is. Lord, thank you again for the truth, and I pray that you would touch hearts, Lord, with the truth, and that people would respond to you and be saved. Now, bless the truth. Bless it, Lord. Touch lives, and bless the giving. In Jesus' name, amen.